Gracious God, open our minds to your word. Fill our hearts with your love. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we may be your faithful servants in the world. Amen. Please be seated. I'm delighted to be here physically and virtually for the two Sundays, so that Father Leonard can be on holidays. And so I took the occasion to think about maybe doing a mini series for the two Sundays on faith, based on the letters of the Hebrew, chapter 11 and then 12 for next week, so that we can focus on it. Now, what is faith? Well, let me start off with this personal reflection. Outside of the religious realm, we all have faith too. We have faith that the traffic lights will work properly so that vehicles will not go through the intersections when we have the green lights. Now, occasionally, accidents do happen when others disobey the signals and run red lights or driving impaired. Still, we trust that most people will obey the rules of the road and play it safe for others, or at least 99% of the time. We have faith that the elevator we are riding will get us to the right floor. I understand you have a problem with the elevators before. So, thankfully, we all got to the right level. Occasionally, again, some elevators would malfunction. And there may even be a very small probability that those malfunctions would cause injury or fatality. Now, we trust that our utility companies will provide us vital services we need without interruption. But then again, as we found out, the recent Rogers outage can cause huge problem for us, a lot of people. We also trust that it is safe to walk on the street. Occasionally, we have the unfortunate encounter with street crimes. And yes, we had the van attack right out on Yonge Street, right outside this church over 4 years ago. How can we trust that safety is still possible after that horrible incident? Perhaps we need faith. Our sense of safety has been broken. Our sense of trust that others will not harm us has also been broken. So when we say we need to have faith in God, it means that we trust that God will mend this brokenness. We have faith in spite of the brokenness surrounding us. So as Christians, faith is recognizing the brokenness in this world, appreciating its gravity, and yet still believe that God is in control. Faith is in fact facing the facts and not being discouraged by them. Quotation you have plenty today. So is it easier to give up in despair? Or how do we keep ourselves hopeful? Those of you who listen to pop music, George Michael said you have to have faith. So do we have conviction? Or is it just sheer perseverance? Do we just choose to believe whatever we like? Well, in Western philosophy, we have two types of arguments about knowing. Since the time of Immanuel Kant, a priori knowledge is independent of all particular experiences. To know something a priori is to know it from pure logic, without having to gather any evidence at all, which is as opposed to a posteriori knowledge, which derives from experience. Now, we theists, we who believe in God, would say that we know God exists, and there is no point in arguing about it. So that's the end of discussion. So if we are confident about our conviction, then is it okay? Well, or just like the old preacher writing on the margin of his sermon notes, argument weak here, yell like hell. Because the louder and the more confident we sound, the more conviction others will see in us. By the way, don't worry, I won't be doing too much yelling today. How do we arrive at faith? Or is it just some sort of Disney wishful thinking or magic? Well, with this introduction and reflection in mind, let us tackle today's verses from Hebrews 11 on faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith that is being sure instead of uncertainty and confusion without it. So, as defined by Hebrews 11, faith is not just about any beliefs in life in general. It is about faith in God. And another slightly different translation puts it this way: faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. So there are two dimensions to this definition: the future and the present. Faith gives us a grip on the future that renders it hope. It is certain because it is God's future. God is in control, not us. Therefore, we can be confident that it will come true as we wait expectantly. And secondly, faith will come true. Faith also allows us to interpret the present in terms of realities not visible to us. For both Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and this letter to the Hebrews, faith is actually obedient response. While Paul seems to lay greater emphasis on the element of trust and utter dependence, here Hebrews stresses the element of steadfast commitment to God's promises. Faith is the persistence and the constancy in holding on to the divine promise, even when it becomes dim and things are grim. This kind of faith is consistently characterized by our ancestors of faith. They also showed us how God is trustworthy in the past, and it forms the basis of our faith in God's future. Two more quotations. Faith sees and responds to unseen realities. And then, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. And then verse 3 in Hebrews puts our faith into the perspective as it is reflected in our theology of creation. As Christians, we believe that the universe came into existence through an act of divine speech. God's words created the visible from the invisible. Out of nothing come something, something concrete. To account for what we see in the world of creation, faith looks to God as the one in whom unseen reality becomes visible reality. Therefore, the origin of all we know and see cannot be conceived, known, or explained apart from the creative act of God. The created order gives us a clue and helps us make sense of what we see in terms of what we cannot see. So faith in the life-giving Word of God allowed us to have visions of the future based on God's promises. Therefore, faith is really the bridge between where I am now and the place God is taking me to. Abraham and Sarah set that kind of example for us. While our reading actually skips over the other examples of Abel, Enoch, and Noah, Abraham and Sarah represents to us the model of faith exemplified. And one Corrie ten Boom, which is the author of The Hiding Place, said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Here in the passage, the key word is promise. It was repeated a few times. Abraham and Sarah accepted the vision of a future as promised by God, and they are willing to project themselves forward into that future. Abraham followed God's call to be an alien in a foreign land, living in tents, and yet held on to the promise of a permanent dwelling place in a city prepared for him by God. Sarah lived in response to God's promise of descendants, even though she was barren and way beyond childbearing age. Those faithful ancestors lived in hope, but not in fulfillment, not yet. They believe in God's promise without seeing it come to full fruition. There was a pilgrim existence, heeding the call of God to move forward, not with a static vision, but trusting in God's leading and guidance. Ernst Käsemann, the theologian, describes it this way: faith becomes a confident wandering. A confident wandering, not aimless. Through changing circumstances, will we remain steadfast and hold on to God's promises ourselves? Because the faith of Abraham and Sarah shows us that faith is not believing that God can. It is knowing that God will. And one more. Faith is the daring of the soul to go farther than it can see. So as we come together to worship God corporately, you know, in person and virtually, what does it mean for us to have faith? How will our faith translate into action in our daily lives? Well, what has God promised for us today? Eternal life, heaven, or whenever two or three are gathered together in Christ's name, God will be there, present with us, and hear our requests. And what about our witness in this world of confusion? So for the questions, who can we believe, and what can we believe to be true? Perhaps we can turn those questions around and turn it upside down and ask, are we credible witnesses? Will people believe us? Will people believe what we profess to be truth? Yes, by faith we can, because we will stick to the core values and beliefs that are important to us, even though what is happening in the world seems to be very discouraging. We hold on to God's promise to love us with an everlasting love from eternity to eternity. And as beloved children of God, we not only long for an eternal home after this life is over, but we will strive to create a better world, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors, for our global neighbors, for our children's and the future generations to come. How do we do that? Well, we will keep the promises we made in our baptismal covenant. You all remember the second part of the covenant, because I tell people this is our job description, how to worship, how to live our personal spiritual life, how to proclaim God's word and gospel and good news to the people and seek to serve other people, and how we would work for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. And we also care for God's creation. Sorry, that is the God's creation, for justice and peace in God's reign of shalom, of peace. We care for God's creation. After all, looking at our island home from outer space, as astronauts have done so, the planet Earth is one place, home. So as followers of Jesus, we believe the truth of Christ will still set us free. Free from hatred, from bigotry, from violence. Free from people who want to control us, enslave us, and divide us. Indeed, in spite of our brokenness, the faith community must strive for the ideal of a place where the rich and the poor, the young and the old, people of diverse language, race, and culture can gather, where people of different skin colors, accents, marital status, gender, and sexual orientation will be welcomed and treated with respect and dignity. Here, we can help one another, we can care for one another, especially in times of need, as we have done so throughout this pandemic. We encourage one another to grow in Christ, to love God wholeheartedly, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus reassured us in the gospel today, "Do not be afraid, little flock." That is, trust in God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we cheer each other on to have faith, in spite of recognizing the brokenness of our world, appreciating its gravity and our own anxiety. And yet, we still believe that God is in control. After all, that is the central message of the book of Revelation, not the end of the world scary stuff, but the assurance that God will triumph over evil ultimately. And may I also add that we have faith that God will bring redemption even in the worst possible scenarios, that nothing is beyond God's redeeming power of love. After all, that is also the central message of the cross of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to listen to a hymn by Marty Horgan, which is actually 548 in your blue hymn book, if those who would wish it to look it up at home. It's called "Eye Has Not Seen, Ear Has Not Heard." It's based on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10.
Spirit of love, come near. street.